Before we look at the scripture tonight, let me make one comment. The first hymn that we sang, Come Thou Almighty King. You know where I first heard that? In public school. Can you do that today? I doubt it. How times have changed. How we need to pray. Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. And as is my habit, we shall be looking at many scriptures. Exodus 24, verse 13. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua. And Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, Tarry ye here for us, until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon the mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Moses went into the midst of the cloud, got him up into the mountain. Please note, Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Chapter 34. He was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Verse 28. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. He wrote upon the table the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from the mount with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses knew not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shined, and they were afraid to come nigh to him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil upon his face. And when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shined. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak to the Lord. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. And by now you know the subject, shining for Jesus. Why do you think that Moses' face shined? We shall demonstrate what I'm going to say, and already you know the answer. Moses' face shone because he was in the Lord's presence 40 days and 40 nights. Years ago, in the city of Denver, I attended a medical surgical meeting. And in the hotel where I stayed, on the main floor, the ground floor, there were many stores. And among them was a photographic store. And then, and even now, I was interested in photography. And I saw a picture. And I went in and I said to the photographer, what is that a picture of? He said, that's the capital of Denver at night. I said, where did you go to get that picture? And he told me where. I said, thank you. And he said to me, you can't get that picture. But I got it. You know why he said I couldn't get it? He thought I was going to take a camera and take a snapshot. Now, when you take a snapshot, you are letting in a little light for a fraction of a second, sometimes 50th of a second, sometimes 250th of a second. But to get this picture of the Capitol at night, I borrowed a tripod, put the camera on the tripod, focused on the object, and opened the lens for 90 seconds. Not a fraction of a second, 90 full seconds. What we call a time exposure. And Moses' face was able to shine because he spent time in the presence of the Lord. The story is told, and you've heard it, of a businessman, very busy man, but he ministered the word of God regularly. And one day somebody said to him or asked him, how do you find time to do all of this? He says, I don't find time, I take time. And that is what we must do if our faces are going to shine. Now, whenever I speak on this subject, I get a little argument. Because I firmly maintain that all of us have the same amount of time. I have 60 seconds in every minute and 60 minutes in every hour. And my contention is that you have the same amount of time as I. Each of us has the same amount of time as President Bush. The question is, how is it that some people accomplish so much and others accomplish so little with the same amount of time? If we are to spend time with the Lord, how do you spend time with the Lord? He isn't here for you to see him. How do you spend time with the Lord? Luke chapter 24. Spending time with the Lord so that we may reflect his glory and his majesty. How do you do it? Luke chapter 24. Verses 15 and 16. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Their eyes were fixed so that they didn't know Jesus when they saw him. They were with him, but they didn't recognize him. Verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Then said they one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he opened the scriptures? They didn't know him. They didn't recognize him. But when he opened those scriptures, his heart burned. And I suggest to you, us, beloved, that which we all know, if you want to see Jesus, you're not going to see him with the physical eye. You've got to see him in his word. And that is another thing of great interest. The living word in heaven and the written word that you're holding in your hand agree 100%. The living word is everlasting, and in spite of men's effort to get rid of the Bible, the written word is everlasting. And I suggest when you go home that you make a list comparing the word, the living word, and the written word, and they are in all respects the same. John chapter 5, please. verse 39. Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. They testify of me. You want to see the Lord? Search the scriptures. The scriptures are about him. I remember years ago at a prison ministry, I asked the audience the question, who is the chief character in the Bible? And they all said man. There is a lot about man, but man is not the chief character of the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ is the chief character. And any time we read the Bible and don't see him, we've missed the point. The living word and the written word are the same. What we need to do is to take time with the word. And as we take time with the word, an amazing thing will happen. We will reflect the glory of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 7. But if, now many of your Bibles say the ministration. I'm going to suggest that you change that to administration. We are now under the Bush administration. We were formerly under the Clinton administration. This word is best translated administration. If the administration of death, referring to the law, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the administration of the Spirit be rather more glorious? The administration under Moses was the law. The administration under the Lord Jesus Christ is grace. Verse 9, for if the administration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the administration of righteousness exceed in glory. We understand that. Grace is far more glorious than the law. Verse 11, if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was departing. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. The new administration is under the Lord Jesus Christ. The old one was under the law. Nevertheless, verse 16, when it shall turn to the Lord, that is the hearts of Israel, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord there is liberty. Verse 18. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 18. As we look at the Lord, as we look at him through the study of his word, we are changed from glory to glory, so that we should shine for Jesus. The question is, am I shining for him? Are we shining for him? A time exposure. Time must be given to the word of the Lord if we are going to reflect his beauty. Not a snapshot. Not a little here and a little there and you close the book. Not read a verse in the morning and by the time you get to work you've forgotten the verse. Now I know this is not easy. And especially for the mothers in our midst. You know, I really believe that the hardest job in this nation, perhaps next to President Bush's job, is the job of motherhood. It's an amazing thing. Two or three children. Each one is different. You've got to look at each one. You've got to bathe each one. You've got to dress each one. You have to feed each one. You have to keep the house in order. You have to see that laundry is taken care of. You have to prepare three meals a day. You have to go and shop. Sisters have quite a job. But sisters take time for the book. Take time for the book. I think of a lady, I've mentioned her to you before. Dear Sister Beckles in New York. Amputated both legs above the knee. She was a diabetic. One day she called me and she said, please come to me. I can't come to you. And I remember that day. It was a hot day in August. And if you think it's hot down here, you haven't seen heat till you go to New York City. When that heat comes off the cement and the pavement, and you're in the house in an apartment there without air conditioning, no fan, that's uncomfortable. And she asked me to come to her. Can you imagine? Sitting in a chair, both legs amputated above the knee. And she said to me, sit down, brother. I've got a word for you. Oh, my. Isn't that great? She had been looking in the Word. And I remember the question she asked me. She said, when Moses struck that rock, why did God prevent him from going into the Holy Land? Did he do such a terrible thing? And she said to me, the answer is that he struck the rock. The rock was Christ, and Christ was not to be struck but once. Oh, that was refreshing. And then when she finished her dissertation, she said, now you go ahead. Attention to the Word. Looking into the Word. Taking time for the Word. 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. And if we give attention to the Word, spend time with the Word, we will reflect the beauty of the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers. Be an example of the believers. Reflect the beauty, the glory, and the majesty of Jesus. In word, in manner of living, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be an example of the believer. Another scripture. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 2. You are our... Oh, I see everybody doesn't have it. I'll wait. You are our epistles, our letters, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Beloved, they're reading us. I wonder what they're reading. I wonder if the handwriting is clear. They are reading us. We are our neighbor's Bible. They don't read the Bible, but they're reading us. And if we are reading this book and paying attention to it, we will reflect the beauty of the Lord and they'll see Christ in us. I mentioned recently, and I repeat it again, in the Philippines, this missionary was there, and the local people came to the meetings, but there was one man whom he spotted. At the end of the meeting, he would give out tracts, that is the missionary, sometimes New Testament, but this man wouldn't take anything. And so he asked him, why don't you take our literature? We give it to you. It's free. What do you think this man said? If you are reading that Bible, if you are reading those tracts, and you do what the Bible says, I don't have to read the Bible. All I have to do is look at you. Does that make sense? They are reading us. They are looking at us. In school. On the job. And you, dear sisters, you go to the supermarket at least once a week, and the checkout lady knows pretty well what you have ordered. I wonder what she thinks of you. She's reading you, and she's getting an impression. Again, the story is told of a certain missionary. He spent some time at the home of a family. And when he was ready to go, he packed and he said, I think I have everything. And the lady at the house said, no, you don't have everything. You can't put everything in your suitcase. And he looked at her and said, what do you mean? She said, you have left your influence. You can't put that in the suitcase. And wherever we go, we influence people. I wonder if they see Jesus in us. I wonder if we are reflecting the beauty of the Lord. Now I'm going to give a little illustration here. And if you don't follow me all the way, we have students here, men and women, ask them to explain what I'm going to say to you. Say that my hand, well, here, there's a lamp, giving off light. Say that I hold my hand 12 inches from the light. It'll get so much light, right? Suppose I hold it 24 inches from the light. How much light would the hand get then? Half as much? No. One-fourth as much. And if I hold my hand 3 feet, it won't get one-third, it's going to get one-ninth. Now, you ask the scientists in the room why I say what I say. In other words, the further you go from the light decreases by much more than we realize. That's why it's necessary to keep close to Jesus. And when we go far from Him, the light that we reflect becomes very little indeed. I have another little note here. It takes time to study the Word of God. I believe I've told you this before. Soon after I'd given up the practice of medicine and surgery, a sister met me and she said to me, you're not practicing anymore. What do you do? I said, I study the Bible. And she said, is that all? I didn't answer her, but I knew right away she didn't study the Bible. To study this book requires time and patience. You all study, so you know the truth of what I'm saying. But read with me in Acts chapter 11, please. Acts 11. Acts chapter 11. Verse 26. I think we're all there now. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Now notice this last expression. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They did not call themselves Christians. They were called Christians. Who called them Christians? The people around them. Oh, and I ask, beloved, what do they call me in my neighborhood? I wonder what they call me. That old man that walks with a cane? I hope not. What do they call you at work? What do they call you at school? They were called. They didn't call themselves. But they so reflected the glory and the majesty of Christ that the people around said, they are Christ's ones. They belong to Christ. Many years ago, but most of the stories that I tell happened many years ago. Have you noticed that? That's because of my advanced age. Many years ago, as I was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, going into the office, a young lady came and grasped me by the arm and said, come and see my mother. My mother is sick. I said, well, now, I have nothing to work with. At least let me go in the office and get my bag and what I need to work with. And all the time I went in and got the bag, she was holding my arm, wouldn't let me go. And she took me to her mother. There was her mother in bed. And the Lord was good. Her mother had an illness readily diagnosed and easily treated. As I was leaving the apartment, going through the living room, they had the TV on. And I saw a lady there, just in passing. And she had such a fine bearing. And the few words I spoke, her English was impeccable. And I said to myself, I don't know who that lady is, but she is somebody. When I got home that evening, I turned on the news. And what do you think I heard? At 4 o'clock this afternoon, the Queen of England was addressing the Congress of the United States. She was the Queen of England. I didn't know she was Queen of England, but I knew she was somebody. What do they think of us? Do we reflect the glory and majesty and beauty of the Lord? What's the opinion of our neighbors? Another story is told. Brother Enoch may be able to advise us about this. It happened in India. I don't know what part of India. But there was a statue there in the central portion of the city. And people would come to look at this statue. And there was one man who would come every day and he would sit for hours at a time looking at the statue. You know what happened? After a while, you couldn't tell the statue from the man looking at the statue. He took on the likeness. And that is our lesson today. As we look at the Lord, behold him through his word, we should become more like him. I'm finished. I have no more to say. Hymn number 409, please. 409. Take time. Oh, beloved, let's take time. Let's use our time wisely. Because the Lord has told us that we're going to account for our time. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Meditate on the book. We're all busy. We all have many things to do. It isn't a question of finding time. It's a question of taking time. I'm going to fit the Word of God into my schedule for so many minutes every day, and discipline ourselves to do it. 409. Perhaps just the first and last verses, please.